oftentimes when you tell people and you give them exaggerated opinions concerning a matter, they tend not to really appreciate what you share with them. For example, if I said, wow, flying a plane is the best kind of experience you can ever have, someone might be thinking and saying, well, since it's the best kind of experience I will ever have, I think it's my dream to fly a plane. And once I get to fly a plane, then I think I've achieved everything in life. So all their lives, they're just waiting to fly a plane. And so they finally get to, and they get to realize that it's not like that. In fact, it was very boring to do so. Again, if we tell you that marriage, for example, is the best thing that you will do and is everything that you should be waiting for to get your hands on, and marriage is all rosy and it's all interesting and it's all nice, and then we give you all of these, and then you finally get in, and you get to realize that, onupa, it wasn't like that though. Is that there were things that you didn't know of. See, but I thought when I get married, that the man becomes my company. And then you finally get in and you realize that he's somewhere. You know, he has not even texted you for 24 hours and he's missing. And he comes back and he lies down and he's asleep. He just says, hello, how are you? How was your day? But in your mind, you are actually expecting some kind of company. It's like when you are going anywhere, he's next to you. He opens the door for you. He's enthused about you. Those things, they happen for just a few months. After 6 months, 8 months, everybody's... The only thing that keeps you going are just friendships. You are just good friends. That's all. So if we tell you that marriage, there is no difficulty in marriage, and then you finally get to, you realize that there was one morning, the heat in the room. Say, no. I didn't think it would be like this. But if we told you that marriage, you should be ready for all of the experiences, and then you finally get in and you realize that, oh, I think the experiences were not that serious like that. Do you see that? So that we don't have over exaggerated opinions on matters. So boiling or watering down, what I'm going to be telling you are not exaggerated opinions, right? They are realities of the ministry. Realities of the ministry. I don't have exaggerated opinions on the ministry. In fact, I oftentimes, concerning ministry, I'm not too interested about the goodies and what God will do for me. That's the honest truth. Yeah. So in my mind, I've already made up my mind that God is a God I believe and I have faith in. But just in case it doesn't turn out so that I don't have the Lamborghinis and I don't have the Ferraris and I don't have the Bugattis, I am going to be very okay. So I don't have exaggerated opinions. Yeah, I don't have exaggerated opinions. Now, it is a reality that we must come to understand this, is that trials, tribulations, temptations, hardships are part and parcel of what we call ministry. Having to suffer something and having to be treated in a certain way. So that when it happens, you don't say, why are my parents treating me like this? I never knew it was going to be like this. No, I'm already telling you in advance. So that when it starts happening, you will get to be firm and be strong. Are you listening? Say that people are calling you unwise and people are calling you stupid and people are calling you names for not doing something that you were supposed to do. I'm already telling you in advance, all right? I'm giving you heads up so that just in case you enter and it's not like that, you say, okay, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. I think Pastor made us even afraid that it was going to be like, but it wasn't like this. God helped us. It wasn't like, but just in case, just like the Hebrew boys, right? Just in case it happens that you will have to go through certain trials and tribulations and temptations, you are also well vested and well ready for it. I remember a time, I don't think I can ever forget the story. And, you know, I used to share with you stories on how, you know, I jump walls. And, you know, so there was this house I was staying. And let me tell you what happened before. The last person those two dogs had, they nearly killed the lady. They almost chewed her alive. Now, the owner of the dogs, their own son, when the dogs... I mean, hurt him. The woman had to come down with a knife herself. She took a knife and she came down. And she was shouting from the top while she was coming down from the stairs. Now, here is me. I've closed from the night. Now, don't be mistaken. These dogs didn't know me. They don't even know this. They are crazy enough not to know their son. How much more me, who has come to live with them for a few days or a few weeks. So I looked around and I didn't see them. So I thought maybe they were in the cage or something. But I think it was very not wise of me to assume they were still in the cage, because oftentimes in the night, there's no way they'll be in the cage. So I finally jumped and I jumped inside. I didn't see them. I said, well, maybe they are at the back there. So I was taking my steps. I can never, that day I didn't urinate on myself. I will not urinate on myself again. Hey, I was walking and these two dogs were the ones coming. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they saw me from a distance. You know, those days, I said, when you watch movies and people are stiff and it's like you have to touch them to bring them to their consciousness. It was that day. It was the first time I ever experienced that. When they saw me and I saw them in their meaty kind of nature. When I saw it, I didn't know I would live. I didn't believe I was going to live afterwards. I'm talking about dog. When you see the dogs, and they approached, the two of them, they approached me, and I was standing still. But let me tell you, one of the things I can faintly remember in that minutes, like three to four minutes of an experience, was that I felt like someone was standing behind me. That's the only thing that I can remember. I felt like someone was standing behind me. I could literally feel that there was a force behind me. And these dogs came close to me. And they never backed. They never did woe. And I stood there. So I stood there for like maybe, let's say, 30 to 40 seconds. Like I was gone in my spirit realm. I was gone. So I stood there. So in 30 to like 40, I now came to that awareness that, you are still standing there. So I put my hand in my phone. And I didn't know what to do. I put my hand on my phone and I called and I put the phone on my ears. And I said, please, can you come and open me? I'm outside. They said, Major, where are you? I said, I'm outside in the, they said, in the veranda where the dogs are outside. I said, come and open the door for me. And I hung up. And that was how, even when they were coming to open the door for me to enter, they opened it for me and went back and now told me to open the door and enter. And that was how I opened the door. And I entered. Now, when I entered, that was when I started shaking. I was like, my God. That was the only thing I can explain. I could tell that there was something behind me. Someone came and stood behind me. And these dogs will come and just walk around me and just walk around and go. And just come back and walk around and go. They never did walk. None of them. It's very unusual. Yeah. And then, when I entered, one of them said, it is very supernatural. I know it was supernatural. It wasn't something natural. Because that day the dog should have eaten me. It should have just eaten me. You see, why did this happen to me? It's because some way, somehow, I was not prepared to meet them. Do you see that? If I were prepared to meet them, I probably would have maybe called beforehand. And the thing is that the door that will lead me into the house is locked. So even when I enter, I need to spend some time outside to call them. They were not picking their calls. And here's the case, I've gone there. That day I didn't just collapse or something. I don't think I would like it. Yeah. So I should have been prepared. So that's how I don't want some of you ministry to take you aback. Like, hey, we didn't know that we were going to have such an encounter or such an experience. But you know something? God is going to be walking with you through it all. That's the glory of it. You will see, I could sense that God was leading me and holding me and pulling me alongside as I made this decision. You see, I felt like there was somebody, there was a man that spoke to me that, go ahead and do this thing. You are called for this work of the ministry. Yeah. So I stood there and then they opened me. Even the opening, they had to go back. Yeah. That was how I entered. When I now entered that, I was now shaking. I said, hey, you can't shake. The Lord is with you. And I started saying, hey, I could, hey, wow. But I was not shaking like physically. But you know, at the same time, you are shaking internally. It's the shaking. It's inside. They can't see that you are shaking, but inside they're shaking. And I said, wow. I said, that's the only thing. I think I'll keep sharing this story for the rest of my life. Yeah. I said, I felt somebody come behind me. I couldn't see the person, but I felt somebody just walk close to me. Because I didn't prepare to meet dogs on the roadside. You see, if I were prepared, I could have... I don't know, but maybe gun or something, I could have shot or anything one way or the other. Or I could have calculated that, when you reach this circumference, move and walk towards this way. So when they come, you can lock or do something. I didn't do. I just went in, zoo, like that. And I went to meet these dogs. So in the same way for ministry, that's why I teach you all of these things. These teachings and things, I'm not giving them to you for just saying that, we close, so you need to say something. No, we don't need to say something. If we close, we can just go. And these teachings are there to prepare you for what is ahead of you. So what is ahead of you? So I got in and I now said I could feel there was something behind. You know, many of you are going to know that God is with you in this journey of serving Him, of walking with him. He will confirm it to you. He will confirm it to people around you. He will show visions to you. He will speak to your heart about it. He will give you a bedding on it. You know that he has called you for this work. You know. And that's how nothing will be able to sway you away from what he's called you to do. So what am I sharing with you? I'm talking tonight shortly on striving to enter the kingdom of God through tribulations. So, are thinking, oh, it's going to be fancy. Oh, it's going to be this. Oh, it's going to be this. Acts 14:19. Now, when I'm talking about tribulations, I'm not talking about tribulations of sickness, because we know sickness has been defeated. We know death is defeated, ready for a final defeating, right? Yeah, we know sin has no longer its claws on our hands. We're now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But there are certain tribulations that we're going to go through. I'm not talking about failure, right? Like as in you not taking good notice of your time and you misusing the time that you have, and something happens and then you say, I'm going through this tribulation because of that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about persecutions and trials for the gospel. Now, just very rarely can failures be tribulations. It also happens, but not oftentimes. Right? Acts 14:19. We're going to read 19, 20, 21, and 22. Acts 14:19. And there came Peter, certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. I'll take the scripture again. And there came Peter, certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So Paul actually was preaching, right? And the people rise up to a mob, and then they stone him. And having stoned Paul, they actually drew him out of the city. And in their minds, Paul was dead. A persecution. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up again and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Follow closely. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So the Jews arrived, stoning has happened. They go back in the strengthening of the souls that they had won and the hearts of the disciples. And they were urging, they were warning, they were encouraging them to stand firm in the faith. And they told them that it is through many hardships and tribulations that we must enter into the kingdom of God. It is through many hardships and tribulations, through many troubles, have to go through plenty of hard times. Some people don't like this one at all. Say, receive your Lamborghini. I receive the Lamborghini. Receive your business. Say, yes, sir. I have a business. Receive your money. Say, yes, sir. Pound sterling. I receive $1,000. Receive your promotion. Yes, sir. I receive deputy acting manager. Receive this. You say, I receive. See, now it is time to understand that there is a suffering that lies ahead of you. Everybody goes like, I mean, who should go suffer that kind of suffer? So, remember, they were telling them in their strengthening means that they encouraged them, right? They encouraged them, they urged them, exhorted them.
And they said that it is through passing through troubles that we can actually fulfill what God has called us to do. That's in seeing his work done on the earth through many hardships and tribulations. Sometimes the hardships might not come the way we expect them to come. For example, praying might be a hardship. Yeah, a hard time. A hard thing to do. One relative insulting you for always going to church. And they start making fun of you. All of these things, I've seen them. Start making fun of you. Paul, I want bantam. This one. This God thing, we all did some. We stopped. Ye jai. You see, I'm a momo shas here. Ya jai. Then they start to give you stories. Hey, when I was in SS, those times, it was not SS, it was ONS. Yeah, those days, we used to be preaching. Do you know Asamangesi? Yeah, I've gone there to preach. I've even held a crusade there before. Yeah, we've gone there. We're going to preach. Go to Hohoi. I was in Hohoi when I was 22 years old. We went to preach. It was when we preached Pahada for the first time, we saw a miracle happen. So go to this thing. Have you? Do you know? Same Mukwa de mu diagro mo shada unko crusades biasa. Evangelism. Go and see the things that I did. You say today we are telling you something, you are not listening. We are telling you something, you are not listening to us. That is a tribulation. And sometimes there might be even threats posed at you. If you don't do this, we are going to disown you. Charlie, disown me. Let me go. I'm sorry, but if it becomes the problem, if it becomes choosing between disowning God, me disowning God, then just disown me. I'm teaching you this so that you will get your tentacles ready. You are immovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, many people don't know that God's grace over your life will actually come into fruition and it will come alive with much tribulations and trials. Yeah. Much tribulations and trials. That's when you see your disciples actually multiplying. You'll be shocked. Because that's how the Lord and that's how the work is. So when you see a minister, tribulations, persecution, that's God saying his ministry is about to increase. That's how God calls it. His ministry is about to increase. So more increase of the ministry will come with more persecutions and trials of the ministry. Me, I'm speaking to you like this, I'm also getting ready for it. Many persecutions and things that you say, he has done this. But that's something that I don't even know about. He has said this, something I never even said. He's talking to them, something I'm not even talking to you. You see, I'm talking to you. Yeah, it's because it will come with much more tribulations and trials and persecutions. Parents will start calling me an inciter, a killer of men's visions and dreams. See, he is the killer of my son's vision and dream. He has indoctrinated him. He's indoctrinated my daughter. She doesn't want to listen to what I have to say except this gospel and serving God in the ministry. I'm ready for it. So that small boy who doesn't even have anything, he doesn't have anything to do. And they are inciting and pushing. You must be ready. Are you listening? Listen to the instruction they were given if we are to enter God's kingdom, we must pass through many troubles. It's through many hardships and tribulations that we actually enter. Yeah. Some will have to leave certain jobs because that will be the trap to their not fulfilling the ministry. And that is a tribulation. Your boss saying that, see, this church thing, you have to just scrape it away and let's focus on what we have to do. Say, no. No, please, sir, with all due respect, sir, I've been taught to esteem church by my pastor, and I can't. So if you're not, you are off. So respectfully, sir, is there anything we can do about it? So please, no, I have to go. Please, sir, I really want to go. Okay, consider yourself fired. Thank you so much, sir. I'm very grateful for all the time I had here. And God gave that job to you. God can give you another one. Are you listening? See, let me tell you something. Be ready for all of these things coming in from any angle. Any angle. It can come from any angle. But don't forget what I'm sharing with you now. It is that it is through many hardships and tribulations that we can actually amount to what God wants us to amount to. They look at you, say you are a disappointment. You are a disappointment. We asked you to do this and do this and do this and do this. You say you are conscious about God and church. What we are asking you to do, can't you do it with God and church inside and together? It is through many hardships and tribulations that we actually enter. We enter. We enter. We enter into the ministry and we do the ministry. Some of you, your hardships and tribulations and trials might be something very unusual, but it could be that is it. It might not just be stoning. Nobody might ever even stone you. Yeah. But sometimes the stoning might be in the words. The stoning might be in the oppositions, family oppositions. Family oppositions. People are opposing you. Oppositions. I have to tell someone. I said that. See, I want to just make things very, very clear. I had to tell someone this. And I said, let's make this very clear. You see, when it comes to ministry, please don't come around this area. Don't talk down on this thing. Let's just make it very clear. I want to make it very clear. Eh? Some of you are trying to know who it is. You don't need to know. And it's not my parent too. So if you think but I told someone, I said, let's make very clear. This side, don't come here. It's a no-go area. Don't come here. Yes, let's not talk about this. Here. This one is not something we should be deliberating on. Many hardships and trials and tribulations. And many people actually never truly become what God wants them to become. That grace of God upon their lives never actually materializes because they are so afraid. They are so afraid. They are so afraid. They want to please everyone. See, they want to be nice. Me, I stopped. When this record laid impressions like this on my, I stopped wanting to please people. If you know me very well now, I don't do things a lot of times to please people. Yeah. And those times I was thinking I was emotionally intelligent, trying to cover up here and cover up. I stopped all those things. I mean, I say things to you just as I want to say them to you. I'm not afraid of you. I just say it to you. You understand? Yeah, I do so.
I'm not talking about being disrespectful. No, I'm saying just saying things the way I want them to say. I just want to pass it across this way. Yes. Yeah. Many times it might even be your friends. And they keep telling you and making derogatory statements about ministry and your choice for ministry. See, you must just sit them down and tell them, see, we are good friends. But when it comes to ministry, I don't want you talking like this about it. Because if you do, and you continually do, our friendship will not really stand. Because I want to serve the Lord. Maybe you don't want to, but I want to. And you draw out that line. Yeah, just draw out that line. Are you listening? So you will go through oppositions to enter into the ministry. You will go through oppositions. Yes. To enter into it, you go through oppositions. You go through oppositions. People are there to oppose you. Family is there to oppose you. And family, we understand them because they want the good for you. But oftentimes, they actually would not even know what is good, like the word of God in the light of what is good, good, good. All they just thinking about is, you know, something just good. No. So begin to make up your mind that once I've chosen to follow God and once I've chosen to be with Him, there is a certain kind of opposition, a certain kind of tribulation, a certain kind of trial that I must pass through to be able to actually enter into the ministry and to fulfill the ministry. Sometimes it might be that you don't have money. Yeah, you don't have money. Yeah. Because your money is doing this and doing that and doing that. You have very little for yourself. Might be that that's the tribulation or that's the trial you must go through. Sometimes I'm thinking about it. See, now every man of God is saying, Jesus is coming again. Everybody is saying, yeah. So, what if He just comes next year? Hey. Charlie. You can't afford to be just normal. Don't be normal. Don't be a normal person. Maybe next 2 years. But it's in 3 years' time you are saying that you work and leave the ministry. And 3 years' time you come back into. But 3 years' time you realize that maybe the world has already ended. See, let's give myself a window period of 5 years. Let me just work. 5 years, not bother too much about the ministry. Then while I work for 5 years, I'll not be involved after 5 years. Yeah, after 5 years, I'll now see what I can do as concerning the ministry. Yeah. So that is a very not too good way. So be ready for persecutions. Don't be ready to please anybody that you step out of what God wants you to do. I stopped pleasing my dad. That's how come I was able to tell him his ministry I want to do. Because nobody loves my dad than I do. Nobody. 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 There was one guy I endeavored like. It's just first position I couldn't get for him when I was in senior high school. But I had second for him. And I was just going to class because of him. Yeah. When I go to sit in class, I just sit in class because of my dad. Like when I see my dad's picture, they were motivations to my soul. Yeah, they were motivations to my soul. So me, when I say I love someone, I really, really love them. When I see them, something happens to me. Like the way I say I love Kenneth Hagin. And when I see his picture, something happens to me. And when I see Bishop Dark, something happens to me. Yeah, something happens to me. It's like I get some kind of strength. So, he's the same person I looked into and I said, Charlie, I didn't tell him, but I took away that thing. I took away that privilege from him. He will not even talk or shout at me. He doesn't do. He never does that. But I took that privilege away. In my heart, I've taken the privilege away. you say do this and it's not in what God wants me to do, I'm not going to succumb to it. Because I want to enter. You see, that's why some people see me and what God is using me to do. But they think it's just, no, it's, I think all of these things come together. I don't know, but maybe all of these things come together. Yeah, it's true. I've left everything. And I know nobody is in a stand against my relationship with God. Nobody. Nobody. Yeah, nobody. And very soon you hear blind eyes just popping open. And as for deaf ears, we've had quite a number. But I've not had the opportunity to have blind people in my meetings. But I'm sure very soon we will. Yeah, you see cripples just getting up and walking. And you think it was, you see how it always, we think it was stage made. They went to bring somebody. No, they didn't bring. It's just God's glory moving in a place. So, you must be ready for trials, tribulations, and hardships to be able to enter. You see, there is a ministry you have to enter into. It's a ministry you have to enter, and that ministry you strive to enter. See, when you just make up your mind that, oh, it's going to come, I'm just going to be calm, I'm just going to flow, I'm okay, and the ministry, I think the ministry, hey, you are not going to see anything. You have to strive through tribulations, enter into the ministry. You enter into the ministry. Striving through tribulations, you enter. You enter. I had a great man of God speak, and he shared something, and he said that he met somebody. He says he has met death face to face, and he wasn't afraid. I think I've gotten there before. You just see something, you're like, Charlie, me, I'm not already living. I'm dead. There's nothing to live for. As I'm walking here, I'm just crisis own. That's all. So there is no even fear of like what's going to happen here or what's going. We've just given it to him. Our lives are his. That's all. That's all. That's all. So there is not too much fear. Yeah, it's not. Don't fear, because the thing has already been given. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'm not afraid of anything. It was quite recently something happened, and I was like, Pascal, you need to be very careful. I actually, when we closed from evangelism, I was just there, and I said, let me just go this way. So I was going to a certain place, you know, where the Legon is, the bush there. I've gone there. So I met a guy who was smoking, and he said, oh, over there. And I said, oh. So I spoke to him. And he said, "We grab me go inside hole." And I said, "And I young quay." So I literally walked with the guy into the bush, and he was smoking. You know? And he introduced me to one of his friends. Say, "Ja." So I was talking with them. We're talking. We had a friendly convo before I realized they were three, and they were smoking. And I was blowing the fumes too. I was inhaling, but the fumes. So, you know, while we just finished smoking, sir, I said, hey, so go church. You see, some things are very supernatural, but I think we take them very normally. Yeah, I said, was smoking, so into go church. So, me church, me share and come here, so me kai baby come church. What is a Yesuba? I mean, those are things that I can just play around to, you know, driving a conversation. Say, oh, me cry, you know. Before I realize one has come to join, before I realize another has come to join, then the conversation now begins with what it means to be saved. And everybody is sharing in their opinion, and I'm quiet. While they are smoking, they are sharing in their opinions on what it means to be saved. Was it weird? And then there was one guy amongst them. He understood. He understands the gospel. He just said that. He said, "Ofa Jesus Christ, say wajengwa, and no one will say wajio."
So he was now stressing on that and trying to convince the other people that all they needed to do was believe in Jesus. So we walked out of the bush, walked out onto the field area, onto the place there. I spoke with them, encouraged them. And then that was how the conversation ended. And I had to go. So I told them that, oh, I'll meet them. So it was when I went that I now started thinking, hey, what did you just do? What did you just do? I mean. So you can see. Yeah. It was when I left and said, hey, what did you just do? I mean, I was with my phone, with my bag, everything. And it didn't really occur to me that like they could snatch me or something. Yeah. And then we had a very nice conversation. So you must enter into this ministry through trials and tribulations. And I believe it's supernatural, just like the dog. Yeah, I believe it's supernatural. So there are many things that you might not see. You might. I'm not saying you will not. You might. If you are not ready to go through certain things and to just lay out certain things and to just follow God in a certain way and to just be dependent on him in a certain way and just love him in a certain way and just follow him in a certain way and just be determined to do his will in a certain way. There's some things you cannot see. Some things, not all things. Some things are exclusively for those who have gone through certain tribulations and trials and certain persecutions in the gospel. Look at Paul. Has the highest number of epistles, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The same way he wrote 2/3 is the same amount of persecution he went through to write 2/3 of it. The same amount of persecutions he went through. So you can't be Paul when you have not journeyed through Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. You can't be Paul if you have not been stoned. You don't have that kind of experience. You can't be called if you have not suffered shipwrecks. You can't be poor if you have not been whipped. You have not suffered hungers often, fastings often, watch nights often. You can't be poor. I mean, there are certain things that are exclusives for Paul. You can't be him if you've not gone through all of these. You can't be. Someone say, I want to be like this is so and so anointed man. You can't be that if you have not gone through that. In fact, sometimes I look around my life and I'm like, there are certain things I must suffer for. Yeah. And I'm putting myself in that position to suffer for. Because if you don't put yourself in that position, it will not happen. It doesn't just happen like that. I'm telling you, it doesn't happen like that. I paid close attention to Bishop Dag on one of his stories he shared. Yeah. Left off having nothing. Meanwhile, his father was very wealthy. Could fly off a business class with his dad. I mean, a first class kind of flight. Economy with his dad. This is where business or economy. Yeah. But one of them, and for the first 2 sons he had, he lived in someone's home. Afterwards, he moved into an uncompleted building without floor tiled, concrete. And he was there for years. Yeah. So you see, wow, what a ministry. If you don't go through it, you can't have it like that. You can't have it like that. Forget everybody who is a suit kind of thing and we're just suiting. Those things are not necessary. Yeah, they're not necessary at all. They're not necessary. When he went to start a church in Geneva, he stayed in a student hostel for a long time. Meanwhile, he had churches in Ghana. His toilet seats had no tea rolls. Yeah. So there are many things that you should suffer. Oh man of God, oh woman of God. Love it, embrace it. Be glad that, hey, this thing, I know it's going to birth forth something. While I'm suffering, there is a birthing forth of something. Something will happen in that suffering. And do you know that while Paul was suffering,
and he was in prison and he was writing letters. Do you see that most of us don't even hear of what Paul preached about? Yeah. Or you heard what he preached about. Most of us don't even know what he preached. Like Paul stood here and preached this message. We can say he preached for 2 hours. No, we don't all know. It was his writings. And those writings were in tough, tight moments. His writings. Today is his writings we have. He was in prison when he wrote 2 Timothy. So you must be ready to suffer something. Let me tell you something. Don't listen to anybody who doesn't want you to suffer something. But when you have your eyes on the ball, suffering now becomes a joy for you. Yeah, it now becomes a joy for you because you know there is something great in that suffering. Now becomes a joy for you. Like the disciples, they go somewhere to preach and they are beaten. And they come back rejoicing that they were beaten for the cause of Christ. So many people see me and they think I'm just posh. If I tell you some of the things I can't even tell you. It was while I lay tired and I thought I'll not survive. That day I thought I'll not survive. Yeah. And I saw a vision. And an angel of the Lord brought a leaf and he put it on my lips. And he said, "This is the balm of Gilead to the healing of many nations." And at that point in time, I didn't know it was going to happen. I laid there. I said, "What is it? Is it my eyes or something is happening?" Happened in a fast and in prayer. So there are things you will suffer for. Don't just be ready to enjoy and say, "Oh, we want ministry, we want..." No. There's something you must do. And listen, there's a suffering to it. That music ministry, there is a suffering to it. That pastoral ministry, there is a suffering to it. That teaching ministry, there is a suffering to it. At least you suffer to study. If you don't suffer to study, you can't become a teacher. That prophetic ministry, there is a suffering to it. So everything that you want God to use you for, there is something to suffer for. It doesn't just come on a silver platter. Are you listening? So be ready to suffer something. Some of these things are happening to you. They are just the devil throwing out distractions at you. Yeah. He doesn't want you to suffer. Because he knows that when you suffer, it generates and brings forth great power. There is power in suffering. Yeah, there's power in suffering. I looked at God and I said, "Lord, there are things I want to suffer." Because I know, it's as though I know that this thing, if you don't suffer it, what you are looking for, you will not get it like that. Yeah, you won't get it like that. Suffer several hours of prayer. Suffer several things that you should get on your own, but you can't get it. Yeah. You should buy, but you will not buy, and you will not buy. Certain way you should present yourself. You intentionally not present yourself that way. Because you want to put yourself in that position. And then later on, people just look at the result of suffering. After the man has suffered, now he's wearing a suit. You don't see the suffering, you are now seeing a suit. You see, you are not very smart. Oftentimes that's how they just see someone just get up and they are looking at the suit and shoe. But he had already done something that you are not aware of. Yeah, not already done something that you are not aware of. So everybody be prepared to suffer something. Are you listening? And count it joyful to suffer something. And when the suffering starts to come, don't let your heart be weak. And don't let your heart be tender. And don't let your heart be thrown in turbulence. It is a great thing to suffer for the Lord. Yeah, because serving the Lord is a suffering. Many of you, it is through suffering you will build churches for the Lord. Many of you, it is through leaving something and depriving yourself of something that God will use you. I'm telling you,
telling you, suffer many fastings. Many fastings. So it is through suffering. Don't forget our scripture. After proclaiming the message in Derbe and establishing the call strong of disciples, they went back to Iconium, Lystra, and Antioch. Anyone signing up for the kingdom of God has to go through hard times. As for you, just one day you didn't get food to eat, you are already crying. God, why have you forsaken me? You should be glad. Using your faith is an opportunity to use your faith. Oh God, in just 2 days, I've not even had 10 cities. Just 2 days. Only 2 days. If God makes you get that 10 city, in fact, you should give that 10 city out again so that you can suffer some more. Yeah? Can suffer some more. So, I want to encourage you to embrace it. Are you listening? In your homes, embrace it. Amongst people, embrace it. Your friends, embrace it. They said they are pastors. They will not go and look for something to do. What should we look for to do? Are we not working? Are we not still doing the ministry? Please just shut up. Don't be careless. Say, I don't have any. I don't have a problem. I'm telling you, I live problem free. Yes, I live problem. My life is without problems. Because even when the problems appear, I don't see them as problems. I just see them as opportunities to use my faith. That's all. That's all. Are you listening? So, don't forget, if we are to enter, we must pass through many troubles. The Lord grants you understanding on this particular subject matter. Listen, don't take calculated steps. Go in for what the Spirit of God leads you to do. And when you go in, you will feel that somebody is behind you. You will feel it. You will sense it. And dogs will not be able to chew you. Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity you have given us to be able to follow you and to walk with you. We're grateful that you chose us and you've called us for such a great work. What a privilege. Hey. What a privilege to love you. What a privilege to serve you. What a greater privilege to suffer for your name's sake. We love it. We love it. We love it that we have been counted worthy to suffer a thing or two for your name's sake. For your name's sake. We look to you and we say, for your name's sake. We are thankful that by our suffering, you give us opportunities to have eternal rewards awaiting. What a great privilege by our suffering. That's God giving us opportunities to have medals and, you know, gifts and rewards in heaven. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And by this, we will put the enemy where he belongs. Not sickness. Sickness is not the suffering. And so our bodies are fine. That we know you defeated on the cross for us. Yes, Lord, you did. Not sin. We trust that sin has no work and has no place in our lives.
We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. However, persecutions, trials, temptations, we are glad to suffer these for your name's sake. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have chosen us. You have chosen us. Sometimes your suffering might even be lack of sleep. It's a great suffering. Every suffering can be suffering. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.